across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Thank you, Don Rue. Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, March 12th, 2024. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the app, through social media, or by podcast. I got a question for you. Got your Girl Scout cookies yet? Because I do. There they are, the Thin Mints. These are not the Samoas. These are the Caramel Delights. I found my first grocery store table full of pushers. And I helped the Girl Scouts fund all the good things that they do. So it is Girl Scout cookie time. I know we've talked about that with Christina Laurie previously. And so be on the lookout for that. Did you get your cookies? Did you get your fix? Do you need to find out where to get cookies? You can always call us and we can talk about that or anything else on your mind today at 855-75-CIVIC. 855-75-CIVIC or 855-752-4842. Remember, you can text that number as well as call it. Either way, it's always best to reach us through the Civic Media app. So if you don't have that on your phone yet, you need to get cracking on there. Wait a minute. I'm already being harassed in text form, but it's coming from Greg Bach in Waukesha, who puts up a note that says Caramel Delight, more like Caramel Nightmares. Forgive the language this early in the morning. Greg, what the hell? What do you mean? Greg Bach is here in Waukesha, everybody.
Those cookies contain the worst thing in the world.
What? Love?
Coconut.
Chocolate? Coconut? Coconut. Oh, we have found your kryptonite. All right. There we go.
Kryptonite is a tool of the devil to get stuck in your teeth for decades at a time.
Yes, that part is true. They should always have like little dental picks that are at the bottom of the package. So you can go, all right, got to go pick the coconut out of your teeth now.
Yeah.
But tell you what, if you don't want to talk about Caramel Delights, let's talk about Big Macs. Because Sharita Booker is going to be here in a bit to talk about some of our most popular posts. You won't believe how many one Wisconsin man has had in his lifetime. Total number of Big Macs. So we'll be looking for that as well. Coming up in our second hour, we're going to talk about real rural support for Wisconsin. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser, who will go over some of the many rural economic development projects put in the works by the Biden administration, the Evers administration, and now Senator Tammy Baldwin talking up some things that are in the newest government spending blueprint that averted a government shutdown. We've got a lot of Packer changes as well, so that will be coming up on what was the first day of free agency. But first, these temperatures. Now, some of them are still in the 30s. Wausau, you're at 39. Park Falls, you're at 32. Hayward, you're at 38. Check out the rest of these, though. Green Bay, 44. Wisconsin Rapids, 48. Oshkosh, 46. In La Crosse, it's 58. It's 55 up here in Chippewa Falls, 52 in Madison, 50 in Waukesha. The normal high in the Chippewa Valley today is 39. The normal high is 39. It's 55 now, on our way to probably matching the record high for this day of 67 degrees. With the wind also comes an increased danger of grass fires, so be especially careful outside with everything from cigarettes to things that could cause sparks. Whatever the case may be, no unnecessary burning today at all. Brittany Merlot will tell us much more about that coming up in a little bit. Mr. Bach is here, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, last week it was nothing but laryngitis after a sick day, and I'm still hearing just a little bit of gravel back here, and I'm wondering, does this eventually heal, or is this the free gift that comes after the last go-around over here?
I'm not a doctor. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, moving on.
My question to you is, have you properly rested your voice? Have you given yourself like a half day a day where you just don't talk? You just need to, like, you respond by email, respond by text, and you let yourself rest, let it heal. But I feel like you being you, you're Pat Kreitlow. Everyone loves Pat Kreitlow. And you are a loquacious man. You have a verbose nature. And I'm wondering, have you given yourself a day to just let the vocal cords rest and heal?
I'll answer that with a story that's far too personal. My grandpa was an alcoholic. Some would call him the town drunk. And he had this habit of like just talking to himself out loud, like all night. So yeah. I would lay there in the house and listen. He was never violent. He was never hurtful. He would just drink too much and he would just talk and talk and talk. So last night, Sherry's away. She was working on call overnight. Mm-hmm. And I'm folding some laundry and I'm putting some things away. And I'm talking about, you know, the day and everything. And I just kind of stopped at one point. I'm like, I don't have a dog. Who am I talking to?
Yeah.
Out loud like this.
Yeah.
I'm realizing just what you said. There must be a genetic trait, hopefully not to alcohol, but just that he can't shut his yap. So, yeah, that might be part of it.
One fun way to make that trip of self-talk fun, have one side of it in your head, in your voice, and then use an accent as the outer voice. And then you feel like you're talking to somebody else.
There. See, now that's the conversation I can get behind.
But you need to give yourself time to rest and relax those vocal cords. They are your bread and butter.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin the instrument here. Yeah. So, okay, good advice. I appreciate that. From a Dr. Bach strikes again. We don't do a lot of, you know, say football talk. This will be a little bit more detailed than usual, just because yesterday marked the first day of free agency. And there were dozens of deals around the league, including many from the Packers. For a time, when the Packers announced that they were going to reach an agreement with Las Vegas Raiders running back Josh Jacobs, everybody was like, holy cow, Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones? This is going to be amazing. Less than an hour later, the Packers announced that they had released Aaron Jones as he's going to go test out free agency. Which means there's a chance he could come back, but, you know, likely he probably won't. Let's see, the Packers also signed a safety named Xavier McKinney, but they also announced that they were losing or cutting left tackle David Bakhtiari, guard John Runyon, safety Darnell Savage, and linebacker Devondre Campbell. So, and that's just on day one. So a lot of moves in free agency, then will come the draft. And again, we probably won't revisit a lot of this till we see who's actually in the lineup come fall. But it was worth noting that Aaron Jones and David Bakhtiari are out, and Josh Jacobs is coming in as running back. The Vikings quarterback, Kirk Cousins, has relocated to Atlanta. And Russell Wilson, who once played for the Badgers, is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. So a lot of moves coming there. On the Brewers side of things, we are now at 16 days till opening day. And the home opener is 3 weeks from today. So we've got spring training baseball starting to head into its final couple of weeks. And one of those games, the one tomorrow in the Cactus League, Brewers versus the White Sox, you can catch that on News from the Center, WRCE, Richland Center, 1450 AM, 107.7 FM. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network. And then I believe a couple of other stations are going to be carrying spring training games over the weekend. That's coming up as well. So a lot to look forward to as football moves toward the draft and baseball moves toward opening the season. Basketball still kind of winding down here. The Bucks are in Sacramento tonight to wrap up their West Coast road trip. The game you can hear tonight on Oshkosh Air Support. News from the Center, Lake Erin Amory, WRJAN in Racine, 98Q Country in Park Falls, and locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids. The Badger men's basketball team will begin play in the Big Ten tournament on Thursday at the Target Center in downtown Minneapolis. They will have a 12:30 game on Thursday to take on the winner of a first-round game between Rutgers and Maryland, and that game on Thursday will be on several Civic Media radio stations. And the Marquette men's basketball team opens up the Big East Conference tournament on Thursday at Madison Square Garden in New York. All right, looking at some of the headlines here at quarter past the hour, the legislature will formally wrap things up today. The assembly has already packed up and gone home. The state Senate will work on At last I looked at the calendar, at least 65 different bills and resolutions. Just trying to throw everything in there all at once. And if there's things you aren't supposed to notice, well, you know, in the whirlwind of the last day, who's to say what will pass and what won't pass? But it is possible that today the Senate will fire two more of Governor Tony Evers' appointees, two members of the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents, including John Miller and former State Assembly Rep Dana Walks. Again, for no valid reason whatsoever, other than partisan political influence and I can't even call it a power grab because Governor Evers will just appoint a new people. So it's just, you know, being jerks. There's a good chance that one of the things that won't pass is any legislation that would allow for the early counting of absentee ballots in Milwaukee or other large cities, because Republicans, much like the border bill at the federal level, rather than solve a problem when the solution is right in front of them, they would just rather not do anything so that they can continue to complain, in this case, about late night election results coming out of Milwaukee and other big cities. So unless something changes in the state Senate today, look for there to not be any reform about how ballots are counted in the Milwaukee area. Speaking of the Milwaukee area, President Biden is going to put his Wisconsin campaign office in Milwaukee for 2024. According to reporting from Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel, it's the first time a Democratic presidential nominee has made the state's largest city a state campaign headquarters in at least two decades. Campaign officials said the move is in part to center efforts in Milwaukee to show a focus on Black and Latino voters and suburban women all throughout the Milwaukee area. The exact location of the headquarters was not immediately disclosed. It will be one of 44 offices across the state operated by the Biden campaign and state and national Democrats. That's all according to campaign officials talking to Molly Beck. And President Biden, of course, will be in the Milwaukee area tomorrow, so we're quite likely to learn a bit more about that. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to tell you what the president has been saying about what he would do if reelected in his next budget. While there's news from the Republican Party at the national level, massive layoffs and cuts now that the Trump campaign has formally taken over the National Republican Party. Good move, guys. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Tuesday morning, when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. That was back in 1940. He passed away in 2017. We'll hear a bit more from him, along with some other musical memories and other historical notes coming up in today's history lesson a little bit later on, about a half hour from now or so. All right, I was talking just before the break about President Biden coming to Wisconsin, opening a Wisconsin campaign office. And we're going to get to what is happening in the Republican Party in just a sec here. But to finish the thoughts on the Biden campaign, keep in mind that, again, all that talk about a government shutdown for the past, 6 months or so, it's still not fully done yet. Now, yes, there was agreement last week on some bills, and President Biden signed them. And I'm going to have more to say later from Senator Tammy Baldwin about what's in those bills. But those bills signed last week only get about half the job done. There are 12 different spending bills. You know, unlike Wisconsin that has one state budget bill, in Congress they break it up into multiple bills. And so these were the first six that passed last week. There's still six more that have to pass to, again, prevent any further threat of a government shutdown. They'll probably get it done, but just a reminder that it's not fully done yet. Then there will be a presidential election, and President Biden released his budget blueprint of what he would like to do if he were elected to a second term. And there's a lot in here. And so the things that I'm going to rattle off to you, again, are just meant to indicate priorities, because that's what budget bills are. Budget bills are an expression of your values. You can say all you want about what your values are, what your priorities are, but until you actually put a number on a line in a budget, that's when we finally see if you value the things that you say you value. So among the things the president says would be in his next budget blueprint if reelected, parents would get an increased child credit as the child tax credit, which was expanded during the pandemic, would come back briefly to that level to increase the child tax credit. A move, by the way, over the pandemic, which raised so many American children out of poverty. And then Republicans put them right back in by not maintaining that expanded child tax credit. In another proposal from Biden, homeowners would get a tax credit worth up to $10,000. The plan includes $10 billion in down payment aid for first-generation home buyers. Corporate taxes would jump. Billionaires would be charged a minimum tax of 25%. Biden said in his State of the Union that Medicare should have the ability to negotiate prices on another 500 drugs. If that were to happen, he says that it would save you, the taxpayer, over $200 billion over the 10 years that follow. Meanwhile, former President Trump made comments yesterday that appeared to open the door to cutting Social Security, which gets us to something that I think we've probably heard from Republican politicians and our Republican friends and neighbors for far too long. And it's, you Democrats, you liberals, you progressives, you're always trying to scare people with Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare when we don't want to cut Social Security and Medicare. And the Trump campaign said yesterday that when Trump said he was open to reducing spending in Social Security, he just meant the waste, fraud, and abuse. There's been so much talk about cutting waste, fraud, and abuse and so many budget cuts over the years that I feel the need to again state something that I've stated repeatedly and will continue to state until more folks get it. You are the waste that Republicans want to cut in Social Security and Medicare. When they talk about cutting waste, they're talking about you. There's not some, you know, mysterious zip code where all kinds of people are engaged in rampant fraud, abuse, embezzlement, and everything. There are sporadic cases here and there. But by and large, when they're talking about cutting waste, they're talking about cutting spending overall across the board, which is going to hurt people of lower incomes and wealth compared to those that have higher means. You're the waste. When Trump says, oh, I'm just talking about waste, fraud, and abuse, look at the number that will be on his budget. All throughout his presidency, he put in numbers that if they had passed, would lead to tough decisions on how much to cut Social Security and Medicare benefits, which, by the way, you pay for. Not an entitlement. Not an entitlement. You paid for this all of your working life, and that's so you could get it back in Social Security and in health care. Unless certain politicians get their way and send that money that you put in away as tax breaks or other favors to people making far more money than you. But all of this is happening in a Republican Party that is seeing some big changes of late. You will recall that Rona Romney McDaniel was finally forced out as chair of the National Republican Party, known as the RNC, the Republican National Committee. And so now it's been nothing but Trump sycophants and even family members in there running the National Republican Party. That's not how this is supposed to work. America's political parties are supposed to be standalone entities where candidates come and go, elected officials come and go, but the party, by holding true to its values, its positions as expressed in their platform, those parties are the things that maintain, you know, the candidates that are looked upon with favor and are supported, so that no one person could then just come in and corrupt the whole works and not stay true to their values. But bear in mind, the Republican Party 4 years ago threw out its platform. It was the first time a major political party said, we don't have a platform. We don't have a 50-page plan on what we will do, what we believe on this issue, this issue, this issue. They put out a statement instead saying the Republican Party basically stands for whatever Donald Trump says. Whatever he wants, we give him our support. So there are no checks and balances. So it should not be a surprise at all to find out, as we did yesterday, that Donald Trump's lieutenants have cut dozens of staff jobs in key departments all across the country as the former president gets rid of at least some 60 people, including senior staff in the political department, the data department, the communications department inside their Washington headquarters. There was also staff that ran the committee's community centers, which were building relationships with minority groups. Remember how Republicans always crowed about, you know, having an outreach center in Milwaukee? Well, that's in danger of being even less effective than it already was. This all came, of course, with Trump taking full command of the party. And as, you know, his own daughter-in-law said, the number one job of the National Republican Party is to put all of its resources toward getting Donald Trump back in the White House. Well, if you're a candidate right now for Senate, for U.S. House, for a host of other races that need an organized and well-funded Republican Party, how are you feeling about things right now? I mean, it is literally an inside job, the way that the Trump folks are basically saying, this is our party, this is now the Trump party, and only those who pledge complete loyalty to Donald Trump will get help. And even then, maybe not get help, because so much of the money that Trump is raising has to go to pay his legal bills for all those cases that he's involved in. Christina Lori is off. We'll talk to Sherita Booker about what she's covering in social media coming up next across the Civic Media Radio Network on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday. With love that's rare. Right before we visit with Sherita Booker, another nod toward Al Jarreau on the anniversary of his birth and the theme to one of the best TV series of the 80s, Moonlighting, Civil Shepherd, Bruce Willis. I do miss that show. I'm not sure if it has staying power, watching it back in reruns, if it would have the same magic, but you know, worth noting on, again, this day, where we have more in our history lesson coming up in just a little bit. Welcome back. Time to touch base now with Sherita Booker, social media manager for us here at Up North News. Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm getting more excited as each day ticks by, as we get closer to baseball season. But there is something else that comes up in short order here. This time of year for football fans, it's the NFL draft. So you get all kinds of people talking about prospects and, you know, players and who goes well together. But we had a post that kind of looks backwards, and it got a lot of engagement about a Packer great.
Yep. So we asked you, does Sterling Sharp belong in the Hall of Fame? He played for 7 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, and he was a 3-time first-team All-Pro, a 3-time NFL receptions leader, a 2-time NFL receiving touchdown leader, and more. His brother, Shannon Sharp, was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he said, I'm the only football player in the Hall of Fame who is the second best in his whole family. So that post had over 3,000 likes on Facebook and almost 800 comments. Joe said, yes, he was so much fun to watch. And James said, that was a dumb question. Yes. So the general consensus is, yes, he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, got a 5-time Pro Bowler as well. The record seems pretty clear. Now, again, I tend not to get caught up in Hall of Fame debates, because it's kind of like most valuable player. You know, how do you really define that? And it can be however you want it to be. But in terms of, yeah, the quality of his play, was it Hall of Fame worthy? Certainly seems that way. So I'm sure folks will be talking about that more and can head over to our social media posts and, put in their own 2 cents. Let's move to a news topic here about affordable housing. And also, when you talk about affordable housing, you have to talk about housing stock. And we talked about this on the show last Friday, the day after the State of the Union address. And we talked about President Biden wanting not just to offer up a new tax credit for first-time homeowners. But for people who want to leave their first home, their starter home, and they're ready for an upgrade, because that would increase the amount of affordable housing stock for first-time home buyers. But there are plenty of other ways to come at this problem, and you've got a pretty unique post talking about one of those ideas.
Yep. So in Ladysmith, Rylander, and Elkhart Lake, they were awarded grants by the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to convert old buildings like schools and motels into affordable rental housing, especially among the workforce in these smaller communities. That post had more than 2,000 likes and 300 shares. Jenny said, "It took this long to figure this out. They should have been doing this for years." And Claudia said, "Good to see some positive comments in support of this. Nowhere does poverty equate exclusively with drugs, alcohol, and crime. The homelessness is real and deserves alternative options like this."
This is all very true. And I can say from here in Chippewa Falls, there are a couple of roadside motels that either are being or they're talking about converting those into apartments as well. I mean, we just live in a chain society now. People like to go to chain restaurants, not local diners, chain hotels, not the roadside ones that they're used to be. And so I could totally see, Sharita, how an idea like this would catch on with folks.
Yeah. And if they're just sitting vacant, like, why not?
Right. Now, obviously, folks would need a little financial help to get them refurbished for apartments. But again, I'm glad you brought up the whole matter of combating homelessness, because like here in the Chippewa Falls area, we have talked about Hope Village and, having these tiny houses as opposed to hotel vouchers, which are so much more expensive. It's better just to increase the stock of affordable first-time or even temporary homes for folks. And if converting some of these motels is a way to get it done, then that's a very forward-thinking idea, and I'm glad to see that. So I mentioned the chain restaurants and things, and of course there is no chain quite like McDonald's, and I will stop there once in a great while. I like my little, my cheeseburger and chocolate shake, and that's fine. But I can't imagine going there every day. But boy, there's a Wisconsin man who, to say once a day would be a gross understatement. Emphasis on gross, Sharita.
Right. So the world's Big Mac legend actually lives right here in Wisconsin. His name is Donald Gorski, and he holds the Guinness Book World Record for the most Big Macs eaten in a lifetime. Believe it or not, he has eaten 34,128 and counting Big Macs. He's 70 years old, and he's a retired prison officer and began his Big Mac journey in 1972. He used to eat 9 burgers a day, but now he eats 2 a day, one for lunch and one for dinner, which is still a lot. He also says he is in excellent health despite eating so much fast food. In the comment section, Dave said, "I eat 1 or 2 a year, and I'm happy with that. It seems like a lot of Big Macs." Sam said, "That guy will live to be 120 years old." We'll see.
We'll see about that. I mean, and I'm not a Big Mac guy. I'll get a quarter pounder, but I can't imagine 2 a day, much less when he was young. And of course, we were all young idiots at one point and would eat, 9 Big Macs a day. I guess I can see some people doing that. But even at the age of 70, having one for lunch and one for dinner sounds a bit extreme. But let me put it back at you, Sharita. If there was something that you could have once or twice every day and were told it would not affect your health, What would be your Big Mac? What's the thing you would have once or twice a day if you could?
Tacos.
Ooh, see that?
I love tacos, and you could switch it up, different kind of meats and stuff. So I guess I would do tacos. What would you do?
Well, when you say that, I immediately think of Taco Bravos over at Taco John's. I could see having 1 or 2 of those a day if I thought it actually wouldn't take me down. But yeah, that would be the thing. If it were at McDonald's, it would probably be the 2 cheeseburger meal. But again, 2 little cheeseburgers versus 2 Big Macs.
Would say a Filet-O-Fish at McDonald's for me. It's like, yes, at least lighter.
Yes. Yeah, that would work as well. But hey, it's worked so far for Don. So, we wish him all the best. And again, plenty of engagement on these posts and much more. Sharita Booker puts them up. Look for Up North News or Up North News WI if you need to be more specific to find out where we are on all the social media platforms. Sharita, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
Super.
So now get yourself ready to use our text line here at 855-75-CIVIC. Again, 855-75-CIVIC. Just send a brief text saying, answering this question that I'm now turning back on Greg, like I did with Sharita just now. Okay, maybe it's not a Big Mac, but if you had to have just one fast food item or meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
One fast food item. Yeah, I was thinking about this when you guys were talking. So, okay, I would pick three. There'd be three restaurants.
Okay.
I'll get one from each. And I would get a double quarter pounder from McDonald's, because I love them, with cheese.
A double quarter pounder. Yeah. Wow, okay.
And they're less heavy, honestly, than a Big Mac, because a Big Mac has that big slice of bread in the middle, too. So if it was Taco Bell, I'd probably get one or two bean burritos every day. Just very simple.
Okay.
And Arby's, I get a Reuben. Their Reubens are really good.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So. I realized I was kind of, you know, mocking this whole notion of getting the same fast food sandwich a day, and then realized I kind of do that already, but
yeah.
I just don't do the drive-thru anymore. And what I'm talking about is the McDonald's sausage McMuffin. We, Sherry and I were young, newly dating. We were working the same summer job together.
Yeah.
When the sausage McMuffin first came out, and we just thought it was, you know, food of the gods, you know? And all these years later, one of our most frequent breakfasts is a Jimmy Dean sausage patty and some cheese on an English muffin here at home. We basically replicate the sausage McMuffin,
yeah.
You know, at least a couple of times a week. So I guess I'm kind of doing that. Again, it's not quite a Big Mac, much less two Big Macs.
No.
And I got to say, on our Facebook pages, you know, we see the comments when they come up, but we also see the reactions as people like a post,
yeah.
Or they put a heart or whatever. We have set a record for the number of people who have clicked the wow
yeah.
one with the face that's got
sugar.
And I think they started when you heard that he had eaten 34,128 Big Macs and growing, that people are like, yeah, what?
And have you seen this guy? I mean, you've seen him because
yeah.
you've said,
yeah,
the guy does not look like he's ingested nearly 35,000 Big Macs.
No, I mean, look, again, like me or you, he also does not look like he's about to put on a USA Team USA sprinter's bib and go run, you know, the 100-meter dash
yeah.
for a gold medal. But yeah, I would definitely expect him to look a little fluffier.
Yeah,
shall we say?
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. A little fluffier.
Are you fluffy? Yes.
Yeah. I guess I didn't even take into consideration the Egg McMuffin, which is, I love the Egg McMuffin. Although they're just so expensive now, I don't even buy them.
Yeah. We've been, like I said, making these at home by and large, but would love to know if there is a fast food that you would eat every day, you know, if you were said you had, and if you were told it wouldn't take you down, you know, there wouldn't be a massive side effect from, I don't know, heart attacks.
Except joy.
Like yeah, if you all got was joy out of one fast food item a day, what would it be? 855-75-CIVIC, and let us know what you think.
This,
yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, this is sort of just a tiny. Have you ever seen the movie Defending Your Life with Al?
No, and I want to.
Do you have Max?
Yes.
It's there. And then I would watch his documentary. But one of the premises in the movie is that you go to a place to be judged after you die. And at that place, they have these wonderful restaurants and you can eat all that you want anytime and it doesn't affect you a bit. And I'm just like, can this just be my heaven?
Who was that? Albert Brooks?
Albert Brooks, right? And Meryl Streep.
Albert Brooks. And Meryl Streep. Yes, that's been on my, you know, I got to watch that one of these days movie lists
for a long time. Oh, it's so delightful. So delightful.
It does sound like, again, having not seen the movie, but I'm reminded of the sitcom The Good Place.
Yeah.
With Ted Danson and Kristen Bell.
Yes.
And that too starts with, you know, here you can have anything you want at this, you know, yogurt stand or whatever the case may be.
I love that show.
That would be so nice.
Yeah. Yes. I would just sit in the, I just get breakfast all the time.
Oh, yeah. I love breakfast.
That's
exactly what I would do. Saw a story over at the WKOW site in Madison. The entire staff of the Dollar General in Mineral Point quit. just
all two of them.
Well, I think it was like six. It's not. Yeah. It's not many. But yeah, they all walked off, and I thought it was an interesting reason. One of the main reasons why is that as items were coming up on their due date, the chain Dollar General insisted that they be thrown away when the employees wanted to like donate some of these items to shelters and things like that. And that Dollar General said, you can't do that. And so the entire staff said, I quit. There's windows, signs in the windows saying the store is closed. The whole team has walked away due to a lack of appreciation, being overworked and being underpaid, which also were factors, by the way, not just that, that you know, but haven't we all worked in a spot at some point where you're like, what if we all just got up and left, you know? And
yeah,
I've seen that in a few places,
but
like these dollar stores.
Yeah, those. John Oliver did an episode on it last season, and I had no idea how dire those places were. That when I made the comment, all two of them, because it just seems like they hire two people and work them to the bone.
Yes, that's exactly what it feels like. And yes, I do remember now seeing that John Oliver piece from about a year ago. Highly recommend it. And again, these are the, you know, these are the only retail in some towns nowadays. And so folks just want to be, they want to be part of a community store. We just got done saying you don't really have the community roadside motels anymore. You know, fewer restaurants because people will go to chains. And the same goes for the local general store. It's you know, it's not Artie's store. It's now this franchise and with a faraway corporate owner that says, well, you're going to do it this way. You're going to work a bunch of double shifts and you're going to throw stuff in the trash. And I, you know, again, I'm not trying to tell anybody to lose your job on purpose, but I guess I really admire them for making a stand.
Yeah. If you're not feeling respected, do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. You're still feeling respected here, Greg, aren't you?
Absolutely, friend.
Okay, good. Oh, good, good, good.
All right,
then we will both be back. Damn it. We will both be back for today's history lesson next. You're up north. There he is, and Roger put it well. Rest in peace, Eric Carmen. Eric Carmen, who's the New York Times writes, whose plaintive vocals soared above the crunching guitars of the 70s power pop pioneers, the Raspberries, before his soft rock crooning made him a mainstay of 80s music, has died at the age of 74. His death was announced on his website by his wife, who did not give a cause, only that he died in his sleep over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And here's the interesting thing to know about that. Eric Carmen, I mean, he really had this range, because we first actually heard him, like I said, by the Raspberries, the song Go All the Way. Every person of a certain age knows that. That's him. And then, of course, he went completely to the schmaltz with the song All By Myself. Mm-hmm. And then came the Dirty Dancing soundtrack, where he had this song, and he had one or two more before, you know, before he kind of exited the scene here. But yeah, Eric Carmen was very much involved in those early hard rocking days as part of the Raspberries. So
kind of like Peter Cetera. Peter Cetera kind of did the same thing.
Oh gosh, Peter Cetera. There, I'm just looking around, like Mike Reno from Loverboy.
Yep.
You know, again, everything was driving, but then it was like Almost Paradise.
Yep.
You know,
Phil Collins.
Yep. So yeah, he, and that, by the way, Almost Paradise, Eric Carmen wrote that one. So he did others that were covered by other artists. Celine Dion, of course, did a remake of All By Myself. Sean Cassidy did That's Rock and Roll. John Travolta's Never Gonna Fall in Love Again. So yeah, Eric Carmen, a rather prolific songwriter as well, has passed away at the age of 74. Let's play a little Al Jarreau again one more time, Milwaukee's Own, to note his birth this day in 1940.
God, he just wrote good songs.
So smooth. One musical note on the music charts from this day in 1964. For the first time in the history of the British music charts, there were no American acts in the top 10, as British acts like the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, of course, finally took hold in their home country. Another birthday boy today would be James Taylor, born in Boston. He is 76 years old today.
Do me wrong, do me right. Tell me lies.
Speaking of British music, yes. Apple Music is the one who brought James Taylor to us.
That's right. Gave us, I mean, You've Got a Friend, and Fire and Rain, and Up on the Roof, and Mockingbird. And I mean, it would be impossible to get them all in on one morning show today. But James Taylor turning 76 today. Utah Senator and former presidential candidate Mitt Romney is 77 today. There was a TV theme that was working up the charts on this day in 1966. It peaked as high as number 17, the theme from the original Batman TV series.
I love the little handshake.
Yes. That was some crude animation back then in the day. God. And, you know, campy as all get out. And again, for my generation, that we were kids when that show was on TV, when the movies first started coming out, first with Michael Keaton and then the rest, you know, you notice how the movies have gotten progressively darker as they've moved along.
Yeah.
But even that first one with Michael Keaton, I know a lot of people were like, This isn't Batman. Batman is kind of campy and funny and makes a lot of puns. And
yeah,
this guy's very serious all the time.
Batman's a bad bummer.
He's such a buzzkill.
Although when I watched the Batman and Robin movie with George Clooney, like universally hated, George Clooney makes fun of it. But when you watch it and then you think in context to the 66 show, you're like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. And truth be told, I liked the Clooney one. I liked the one with Val Kilmer in it as well. Christian Bale, again, so dark. Everything's so dark.
Swear to me. All right. Okay, I'll swear to you.
let's get Rickrolled over here. The number one song this day in 1988.
Man, the way they panned those drums in the beginning, you're like, ah! Yeah.
I don't know if you have the video in front of you watching, but oh God, watching him dance, you know, it's just so, there was no self-awareness whatsoever. And it worked for him. It worked.
But it was great because he's one of those guys where you're like, you heard the song so many times on the radio. And I think Ted Lasso did it best where like, she's like, that's Rick Astley. No, it's not. He's a black guy, isn't he? No, that's him.
No.
What?
No, that's. Yes, that's him. Yes. The Girl Scouts have an anniversary today. They were originally called the Girl Guides, and they were formed this day in 1912, he said.
Again,
holding up his package of caramel delights.
Get those out of my sight!
Best Girl Scout cookie ever. The Allman Brothers played the first of two live shows on this day in 1971 that were recorded and became their seminal album Live at the Fillmore East.
Okay, the Allman Brothers Band.
You hear the opening of Statesboro Blues, and you're like, yeah, I'm not leaving till this record's done.
No, exactly. When Bridget and I went to Atlanta, we took a day trip to Macon, where they recorded their studio records at Capricorn Recordings. It's, you can feel the energy there where Southern rock was born.
Yep. Let's see. We've got Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions this day in 2007 for Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Nice.
Patti Smith, R.E.M., the Ronettes, and Van Halen this day in 2007. This is National Equal Pay Day, National Working Moms Day, which was actually started by Susanna Lago of Wauwatosa, who started a Facebook page that just wanted to connect other working moms in the Milwaukee area. Working Moms of Milwaukee, a community engagement organization, was born, and it spread nationwide to make this today Working Moms Day. So we wish all the best to all the working moms that are out there. This is World Glaucoma Day. This is National Plant a Flower Day, which I guess works now, but you wouldn't want an early freeze or a late frost, I should say. And finally, today is Organize Your Home Office Day. It's why I'm so glad that the camera on this desk is pointed at me, and rather than being turned inwards and showing you what all is on the surface of this desk in front of me, allegedly there's a wood surface below all this, but it could be for mica, it could be, I don't know.
It can be caramel delights. I don't know.
Oh, I would eat that desk. I would just eat it right up. Hans Breitenmoser joins us in our second hour on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.